Today's daf is Chulin Daf Yud, and we are 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Tes Amid Beis in middle of a sugya. So the Gemara in Daf Tes Amid Aleph brought a very important memra from Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, "Behema b'chayeh b'cheskas iser oimedes, atche yivod alucha b'man nishchata." If you have a live animal, its meat is aser b'achila. It's eva menachai. It's even aser b'achila to a ben noyach. It's one of the shiva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. As a result, if during the shechita a suffix would arise, meaning right now we're not sure whether the behemah had a kosher shechita or didn't have a kosher shechita, the basar of the animal would be becheskas iser. We saw machlekes tanam, what exactly the cheskas iser is. Is it aser b'achila and even tameh, like an avela, or is it only aser b'achila? But regardless, Rav Huna said, what at first glance would seem to be very intuitive, that being that a behemah, while it's alive, is aser b'achila because of eved menachai, if any suffix is noila during the shechita, it would remain aser. The same would be in the reverse. Nishchata, once there was a kosher shechita, the animal is becheskas heter, because shechita ordinarily would make the behemah kosher. As a result, if later there's going to be a reisa, and something's going to bring into question whether or not this animal is kosher or not kosher, we're going to assume that if there was a vadai kosher shechita, it's going to be becheska shchuta ad sheyivad alecha, until we find otherwise that it's going to be us. And the Gemara wanted to know what was an example of a case where we presumed there was a good shechita, now there was a reisa, and as a result, we're not sure whether we can eat the animal or not. So the Gemara said the cases where a wolf came, took the intestines of the animal for a little bit of time, it returned it, and when it came back, there were teeth marks inside the b'nei me'ayim, inside the intestines. Now, clearly, the ze'ev stuck its teeth into the intestines, and as a result, made a hole. Now, that hole wouldn't render the animal a treifa, because in order for a hole in the b'nei me'ayim to make a behema a treifa, the hole would have had to have been there before the shechita. Here we know when the hole came into existence. It happened when the ze'ev stuck its teeth into it. The question is, do we have to be concerned that maybe b'makom nekev, in the place where the ze'ev made a hole, there had been a hole previously? Meaning, hacha b'mayaskinu, when nobody ever checked the b'nei me'ayim to make sure that there was no hole in it. And now there is a hole. So the question is, do we have to be concerned that there was a hole previously where the ze'ev made a hole or not? And the Gemara said, ein choshesh in shema b'makom nekev nakav. And that's what Rav Huna meant when he said that if you have a behema, which is becheska shchuta, we know there was a kosher shchita, even though now there's a little bit of a shayla. What's the shayla? That maybe the place where the ze'ev made a hole, there had previously been a hole, thus the animal would have been a treifa. It's something you don't have to be worried about. The Gemara asks the kasha, Esave, a similar case with regards to the halacha of mashkim megulim and peiros megulim. So once upon a time, nechashim, akrovim, different shrotzim lived amongst the haimish akraisin. And as a result, the chacham said a halacha that if somebody leaves liquids exposed overnight, or if you have a fruit that has a hole in it, you have to be concerned that maybe one of these dangerous creatures went, was matal eres, it deposited some poison into it, and as a result, this thing is now going to be aser b'achila. So the Tosefta gives a case where somebody saw a tzipor, a bird, was making a little bit of a hole in a fig. Or somebody saw a mouse that was making a hole in a watermelon. So you see now a fruit with a hole. You know how the hole, or why the hole is there, seemingly, it's because of this animal. The question is, do you have to be concerned that maybe there was a hole there previously, and if it had been exposed overnight, it will now be aser b'achila because of the halacha of megulin. And the halacha is you do have to be worried. So the question is, how come when it comes to the laws of treifas, you don't have to be worried that the ze'ev made a hole where there had previously been a hole? And when it comes to the halachas of megulin, you do have to be concerned. Amale, so the Gemara said, you can't compare the two sugyas. One is a sugya of Issa v'heter, the other one is a sugya of sakana. When it comes to Issa v'heter, treifa, as chomer as it is, but there's no element of sakana. So, being that there's no element of sakana, you can rely on chazaka. Chazaka says it was becheska shchuta. Now you have some far-fetched chashash in chayshashim. When it comes to sakana there, you cannot rely on chazaka. And being that you can't rely on chazaka, there the halacha is, we are worried, shema v'makam nekev nakav. So the Gemara is in the process of discussing whether in fact it's true that halacha treats sakana more stringently than Isser. Amar Rav Ashi Toshma, I'll bring you a raya from a Mishnah in Mesechtes Parot, Sloicha Sheinicha Megula. So somebody had prepared water that he was going to use to mix with the Efer of the paraduma, it was going to be used to sprinkle on somebody that was a tamei meis. Now that water has to be mayim chayim. There's certain halachas, very strict halachas, that govern the purity of that water. So this person had a tzleichas, he had a jug of this water, and he left it exposed overnight. That's a mistake. Uba, and he comes the next morning, umatza mechusa, and he saw that somebody covered it. It's the halachas tmeya. The water is no longer treated becheskas tar. You have to be concerned that maybe it's tamei. Why? What would have made it tamish? Because I have to be concerned that maybe a tame person was the one that covered it. And while this person was covering it, being that he was in the state of toma, he may have touched the water and he may have caused it to become tame. What happens if it's in the reverse? He left it covered overnight, and then he comes the next morning and he finds it uncovered. So here, counterintuitively, it's actually more kuladik. If it was uncovered in a way where a chulda, a weasel, could have drank from it, or according to a gamliel that holds that if a nach touches the mechatas, it would also make it tame. So if one of these creatures that would make the water tame could have drank from the water, then the halacha is it's tame. Or if dew fell at night, which would also make the water tame, because the water has to be mayim chayim psula. In all those cases, it's going to be possible. But otherwise, it's going to be tar. Meaning, although if you left it uncovered and then you find it covered, you have to be concerned that maybe a tame person covered it. If you left it covered and then you found it uncovered, you don't have to be worried that a tame person may have uncovered it. Thus, the only, says the Gemara, what's the difference? From Shulman Levi, Shulman Levi said, Matam, but they should darken shall shrotzim legalois, the indarkum shall shrotzim lechasis. If you left it uncovered and you found it covered, there you have to be concerned. The reason is because a person had to have covered it. A sheretz can't cover a barrel. So the only person that could have covered it was a person. Now, the person could be either tameh or the person could be tahar. Being that it's a suffix, if the person who covered it was tameh or tahar, we have to assume that maybe it was tameh. As a result, it's going to be a problem. But if you left it covered and you found it uncovered, so there the halacha is, there you could be mekel. And the reason you could be mekel is because it's not muchach that a person uncovered it, because a sheretz has the ability to uncover as well. And therefore, there's really two possibilities, or three possibilities what could have happened. A person may have uncovered it. If it was a person, he may have been tamei or tahar. Or a sheretz may have uncovered it. A sheretz is also tar. Unless it's one of the bad shrotzim, there's a good chance it's tar. There's more possibilities that the way it was uncovered was by something or someone that wouldn't have the ability to be metam of the water. As a result, with toilu lekula, because there's studim to be mekel, and the halach is, it's going to be tar. So what do you see from here? You see that when it comes to a sofik iser, something that's even very chomer, like the water, the mayim chayim that was used for the par aduma, you have a right to be toilo lahakel. If you left it covered, you found it uncovered, so you don't have to assume that a tamei person may have uncovered it, because it may have been a sheretz who's not tamei. You know, there's possibilities where it happened in a way where it didn't become tamei. But when it comes to mayim megulim, you don't make these cheshbainas, because every time you find mayim megulim, you always suspect that maybe a dangerous nachash may have been mat a little bit of eris. If you're going to go based on probability and statistically, the chances of that have happened, it's not very likely. So you see, when it comes to Issa, you can be toilo. You can do a statistical analysis and based on that, be machriya halacha. But that's only when it comes to Issa v'heter. When it comes to sakana, you see your mochamer. And says the Gemara, what's the punchline? Shma mina, chamira sakanta meisura, shma mina. So you see from here that Issa is not as chomer as akana, chamir as akante meisura. Thus, going back to the original context, when it comes to a shail of iser with a hole in the b'nei meayin, there's no concern shema b'makim nekiv nakav. To the contrary, we go based on chazaka. Is there a suffix that the animal is a treifa? Maybe. But there's a chazaka that it was b'cheska shchuta. Thus, we don't have enough to take it away from its chazaka, from its status quo. However, when it comes to a question of sakana, there, if you saw the tzipar and it was poking, making a little hole inside the te'ena, or you saw the animal making a hole in the avatiach, chayshish and shem of makam nekev nakav. Isn't there a chazaka over here? Yeah, but you don't use chazaka when it comes to sakana. We're going to get back to this later with Reading Mitzvah Shem. Tanan Hasam, we're going to the Mishnah, Gimel Mashkin, Hasam, Mishom Giloi. There are three types of liquids that are Hasam, Mishom Giloi. What are they? Mayin, v'yayin, v'chalav. Water, wine, and milk. So if they were left exposed overnight, back in the day, there was a major issue. And for the Balei Nefesh, even nowadays, it's a problem. You're not supposed to drink it. So which liquids? Water, wine, and milk. Kama Yish v'yasrum. How long do they have to be exposed for it to be also? Does it have to be the whole night? Like from Shkia until Alois, from Tseis until Vas? Like what's the share? So the Gemara says, that's not a long share. If it was exposed long enough that the rachash, that's the creature, can come from a close place and drink, it doesn't have to be a long period of time. What's the definition of makum karv? That so close that if it was underneath the keli, how long would it take? If it was underneath the keli, it would take nothing, minutes, seconds maybe, for it to come, drink. That's the amount of shir. If the shir is the amount of time that it takes him to go drink, then you'll see him. Meaning, if it was there for the amount of time that it would take for him to come out and drink, but not enough time for it to run away, then you would have seen it. So the Gemara says, it has to be that you walked away for a long enough period of time where it could have come out of its little hole, drank, gone back into its hole, thus you missed it. But if you were away for that period of time, even though it wasn't the whole night, it doesn't matter, that's enough for it to be considered mashkim me'egulim. So somebody was shechting chulin, the theme of the beginning of Masechtas Chulin. And he found that after he shechted the animal, the knife had a nick. Now, a knife that a sheichet uses to shecht even chulin has to be perfect. Because if it's not perfect, we're concerned that maybe the imperfection of the knife caused the simanim, the trachea and the esophagus, respectively, to have some sort of damage that would render the animal a treifa right before you gave it a kosher shechit. So the knife has to be perfect. What happened? A sheichet when he shechted. And right after the shechita, he found that it was peguma. Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna said as follows. Afilu shibir ba'at samiz kol ayoy. Even if he used this knife to hack bones, right? He was cutting bones, maybe the bones of the animal. Psula d'alachas, it's going to be possible. Meaning, if he was breaking and cutting bones with this sakin, it's presumable that that's what caused the sakin to become pogum. As a result, it probably wasn't there at the time that he did the original shechita. So it makes sense then that the original shechita should be a kosher shechita. But Rav Huna said, I don't care. Chayshinan, I'm worried shema ba'ar nifkama. I'm worried that maybe this sakin got its gam when it made contact with the skin before the shechit did the shechita. So even though he did things afterwards, which would seem reasonable to have been the cause of the pagam and the sakin, it doesn't matter. We have to be concerned that maybe the sakin already had this pagam, this imperfection, this nick, before he did the actual shechita, and as a result, the shechita is going to be possible. Chizda says no. Why? Shema batzim nifka. It seems more reasonable that had the sakin get its pagam, it got its pagam when you were cutting that subways. You cut bones, that can nick a knife. A little bit of ar, it's not mistaber that it would cause the sakin. In other words, you have a very important machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Before a shoichet shecht, he has to inspect the sakin. That everybody knows. What happened was he shechted it. And then after the shechita, he was cutting bones, and then he realized that the sakin had a pgam. And the question is, when did it get his pgam? He has no idea. Did it get it after the shechita, in which case it would have no impact to halacha, the animal that he shechted would be kosher, or maybe it got it when he made contact with the ar before he did the shechita. As a result, the shechita itself was a shechita psula. Rav Huna said pasul, Rav Huna was machmer, Rav Chisda said kosher, Rav Chisda was mekel. Rav Huna said, at the end of the day, I have a suffix over here. This is Rav Huna l'shitasoy and daftesam and aleph. Rav Huna said, behema b'chayez b'cheskas isseroy medes, unless you know for sure there was a kosher shechita, you don't know there was a kosher shechita, because there's a reis in the shechita. It's not in the animal, it's in the knife, as we're going to see in a moment. But still, there is a reis. Rav Chisda said, no, at the end of the day, you go based on svara. It's more mistaber that the way this knife got nicked up was from cutting the bones, not from making contact with the ar. As a result, says Rav Chisda, I'm going to be mekel, I'm going to let you eat from this animal. Says the Gemara, Bishlami Rav Huna kishmaite. I understand Rav Huna's halacha. It's Rav Huna l'shitasa. At the end of the day, the animal's becheskes is Rav Sofik in the shechita. Thus, you have to go to chumra. El Rav Chisda, my time. What Rav Chisda doesn't hold of chazaka? He doesn't hold of cheskes iser. Amalacha says the Gemara. Rav Chisda is going to tell you etzem vadei poit. And etzem, you cut bones, it's vadei. Not 100%, but it's mistaber that would cause a knife to get a pgam. Or suffik. Or it's only a suffik poigim. Suffik loy poigim. Habi suffik uvadai. The ain't suffik moitzim idei vadai. Now the Rishonim, of course, speak out. This is not a classic ain't suffik moitzim idei vadai. The classic ain't suffik moitzim idei vadai is when you have two tzadim. One is vadai, one is suffik. You know, the sugis of a moitzim echaveri all of a raya. Suffik can't be physically moitzim idei vadai. What we mean over here is that you have two possibilities. One is a mistaber possibility. The other one is a not such likely possibility. Says Rav Chisda, It's common sense. It makes more sense that the sakin got messed up from cutting the atzamos, not from making contact with the arms. Of course, Rav Chisda agrees with the idea of cheskas iser. He's not arguing with cheskas iser, but he holds over here one is a more reasonable tzad. Thus, we go with that. Masiv Ravo, listen, you, the Rav asked the kasha on Rav Chisda, which essentially was a right, Rav Huna, from an unrelated halacha tava. Somebody was tamei. He went to the mikveh to be tamei. Allah, he comes out of the mikveh and nimtza all of davar chaytzeitz, and then he realizes, you know, a half hour later that he has a chatzitza on his body. So what's the question? The question is, did he have this chatzitza when he went into the mikvah? Thus, the tefillah wasn't a good tefillah? Or maybe something that came later? Says the Braisa. Even if he was busy with that thing, so whatever he found mud on his body. And he was playing in the mud for a half hour after. Okay, it's pretty mistaber that where did it come from? It came from playing with it. It doesn't matter. Loy also lay tefillah. The halacha is that tefillah is not a good tefillah. Unless he could say, bari li, I am 100% sure, shalay hoy olay koydim lakay. He has to be concerned that maybe it was there. Even though the svar is to assume that it came later, it doesn't change the halacha. Right now, you don't know for sure that you had a good tefillah. There's a reyesa. You have something on you that is a chaytzeit. The halacha is he's going to be becheskas tumah. Says the gemara. B'hach the vaday tovel safik havola safik loy havola v'kaasi safik umoytzi midei vaday. This is a perfect analogy to Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, where there's a cheskas iser. Here it's a cheskas tumah. You have a safik if the tumah went away. There was a tefillah. But then again, there was also a chatzitza, and it's mistaber that the chatzitza came later. Because it's mistaber, the person was oisek in this thing that he found on him, kol hayom kulay, after the tefillah. That's probably where it came from. Like in Rav Huna, Rav Chisda's case. What probably nicked up the knife? The fact that he was chopping atzamos afterwards. And still, what's the halacha? Also the tefillah. You have to be machmer, like Rav Huna. At the end of the day, you don't say it's sofik moitzim edei vade. One tzad is a more reasonable tzad. No, there's a cheskas iser, achi yivad halacha. So l'chura, masiv rabba, I have a kashim Rav Chisda, I have a raya to Rav Huna, but the Gemara says not a raya. Shani hasam, the case of tefillah is different. The ikilamei mehemet tamar al cheskas, because this is a cheskas tumah. The emaloi tava. Therefore, you have to assume that maybe he didn't hachanami freit to mehemet behem al cheskas. Initially, here you also have a chazaka. The animals becheskas that it's also to eat. Avram and Achai. Harish shchuta lefanecha. Says, how could you say that? It's very nice. It's a cheskas iser. But right now you did the shchita. Hachanami here too. Harish tova lefanecha. The person toivled. Hasiyad be reyesa. I know he toivled. But there's a reyesa. What's the reyesa? Chatzitza. Hachanami saw the reyesa. Here too there's a reyesa. What's the reyesa? There's something wrong with the knife. Right? Says the Gemara. Now, the difference is, and this is the bottom line. Sakin isra oi behemo loy isra oi. The difference between the two cases is in the case of the behema, our sugya, the chulin sugya, the machlik is Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Over there, what's the issue? The issue is there was a shchita, there was an act of shchita, and now there's a reyesa. Something came into question. Maybe the shchita wasn't kasha. Is the issue, the quote-unquote reyesa, is it with the animal itself? No, the animal's fine. The issue is with the sakin. You're looking at the knife. The reyesa was noilat in the sakin. So if I look at the behema, I see a shchuta lefanecha. I see a behema that had a beautiful shchita. Problem is, when I look at the sakin, there I have an issue, because now I see a sakin paguma. So I have, now the sakin paguma creates a reyesa in the behema. But the reyesa is not in the heft of the behema. It's in the sakin. As opposed to the case where the person toivo. So this person went into the mikvah. He came out. Now there's a reyesa. Where's the reyesa? It's in the subject. It's in the person himself. It's not in an independent being. It's on the person. He's walking around with a chatzitza on him. The question is, did he have it previously or did he not have it previously? Being that the reyesa is in the person in question, in the subject in question, it's in the chefza itself, you can't say harei tova lefanecha. Over there it's going to be different. Bottom line is, says the Gemara, that Avada Rav Chisda agrees that there's something called chazaka, this cheskas iser, this cheskas tumah. And Rav Chisda even says that chazaka is so strong that sometimes safik could be moitzi midei vaday. That if there's two possibilities, and one is a vaday possibility, one is a safik possibility, you have to be concerned, l'chumra, with the maybe possibility. Maybe this chatzitza was there at the time of the tefillah. But that's only where the safik, where the reyes is in the thing itself. So when the question is this person tahar, is this person tameh, and there's a reyes on the person himself, over there you have to go to chumrah. However, in the case of shchita, in this case where Rav Chisda said is halacha, even though there's a reyes, but the reyes is not in the behema itself, which we're determining is a kosher or a non-kosher. Rather, it's in the knife, over there it's going to be different. Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha. Shachad es haveshet, v'achakach nishmeta gargeres. So the context over here is shchitas oy. Shchitas behema, you have to shecht both simonim. When it comes to a knife, all you have to do is shecht one simon. So what happens if the shoychid shechted one of the simonim, and then the other simon he saw was dislocated, It was dislocated to a point where it would render the animal a trefa. So the question is, what's the halacha? It's very simple. If first the shoychet shechted the veshet, and then he saw the gargaris, the other simin, was out of place, it's going to be kosher. Because once he shechts the veshet, all you need is simin echad ba'if. The oif had a kosher shechita. Once it had a kosher shechita, I don't care what happens with the other simin. Nishmat ha-gargaris, but at first the gargaris was nishmat ve'achakach shechted the veshet, and only afterwards he shechted the veshet. So then it's going to be possible. What if shechted the veshet, and then gargaris shmuta? What if he shechted the veshet, and then afterwards he found the gargaris was shmuta? Any day, he doesn't know. In koine shechita nishmat ha-malacha shechita nishmat. So he has a suffix. Zeh ha-yu maisa. This was a real life story. Ve'amru and the chacham and paskin. Kol suffix b'shechita. We know what the psak is going to be possible. Why? Because it's Becheskas Yisrael Medes Achi Vadalcha that had a kosher shechita. But the Gemara is being medayik the Braisa. The Braisa said, the Chachamim said, Kol, Hakol is the rabbis, Va'amru, Kol Safik B'shechita Pasol. Kol Safik B'shechita Lasu Yemai. It's clearly coming to include something. What's it coming to be, Marba? My love, says the Gemara, Lasu Yekahai Gavno. Even a case where the Reyesa is not in the Behemah. Even in a case where the Reyes is in the Sakin, as in Rav Huna, Rav Chizda's case, even over there you're going to go to Chumra. In other words, a riot to Rav Huna, a kash Rav Chizda, right? What's the kol lasuye? A case where you have a suffix and a chazaka? That's every case. Oh, must be there's a case where it's a bigger chiddush. You know where it's a bigger chiddush? So you would just learn Rav Chizda Svara. That's the chiddush. What would be if you had an animal that was Becheskas Toma, and now there was a shechita, and the Reyes was noilad not in the animal, it was noilad in the Sakin. Rav Chizda introduced a new svara to us and said that being that you could say in lamdis harei shchuta lefanecha and there's no reisa in the shchuta lefanecha, so therefore you say in tzavik meitzav deivada it's at Rav Chizda's lamdis. But bottom line, isn't that what the chiddush must be? The Gemara says no, that's not what it is. Like lasuye suffik shah suffik daras. I was just coming to give other examples where there was some suffik that was noilat at the time that the shchita was done. Meaning, we're not sure. You said there's a whole bunch of halachas, a whole shulchan aruch that a shaykhid has to conform to when he does shechita. So what would be if he's not sure? Maybe there was a shi'iyah, maybe he waited too long, or maybe there was hadrasa, he didn't do the back and forth motion. You know, maybe there was errors in the way that the shechita was actually done. But the point is, the reyesa is in the animal. It's not in the sakin, it's in the animal. Maybe Rav Chizda is right, that if the reyesa is in the sakin over there, you're not going to go basa chazaku. Maishno, what's the difference if the suffik is suffik shia, suffik hadrasa, or the suffik is in the sakin? So the Gemara says, hasam is the alduba reyesa of the behema. There, the suffik is in the behema itself. Hach, sakin, israoi, behema lo israoi. Okay, so we have an important machloik is Rav Huna Rav Chizda. What's the bottom line? If this shoychet shechted before the shechita, he inspected the knife, everything was fine. Afterwards, he sees that there's a problem. It's pogum. If he didn't break any bones with this knife after the shechita, then the halach is like Rav Huna. You have to assume that it happened from the ur. Thus, the halach is it's going to be possible. But the halach is like Rav Chizda in the event that he was hacking bones afterwards, then we could assume that it happened from the bones, a safik moitzi midevadai, and even though there's a chazaka, but hareshchutu lefanecha, either reyesa, the reyesa is in the knife, it's not in the animal, therefore the halacha is like, oh, Rav Chizda's lamdis, bottom line is, over there, it's going to be okay, says the Gemara, from the way that the Gemara established the halacha, what does it sound like? Mechad Rav Chizda afal gafta lo shibar ba'etzen. It sounds like the machlekes Rav Huna Rav Chizda was even where this sheikh never cut any bones with this akin. How do you see that? Because the Gemara is saying, halach is like Rav Huna where you didn't cut bones. Halach is like Rav Chizda when you did cut bones. So you say Meres, Rav Huna, Rav Chizda argued in both cases. And halach is like Rav Huna in one case, the halach is like Rav Chizda in the other case. But the Gemara asks the obvious question. If Rav Chizda said his halacha even when he didn't cut any bones, then what's the Elo b'mayivkum? What's the tzad that Rav Chizda would be mekel there? Right, l'chura Rav Chizda was only mekel because of ain't safik meitzim deivadai. We have a shayla. Did the sakin become pogum from cutting the ar, or did it become pogum from cutting the atzamas? So Rav Chizda said it's more mistaber the atzamas. But if you tell me Rav Chizda said his halacha even when he was leishiber ba'etzem, then that's not Rav Chizda's halacha. Says the Gemara, no, ema ba'etzem the mefarekis. If Rav Chizda said his halacha even by regular shechita, we didn't cut any bones afterwards. Because the reality is that when the sheichet goes through the animal, he's going to touch the etzem, the bone, by the neck in that area. So
Rav Chisda held that too, it's more mistaber that the Saka became pogon from making contact with the Etzem rather than from making contact with the Ar. Thus, it happened on its way out after the actual Shechita, and that's why Rav Chisda was makel. It's true, Rav Chisda said his halacha even when he wasn't Shiber Atzomis. As it relates to the halacha, we're machma like Rav Huna, if the Shaila is, was it the Ar or was it the neck bone? We have to be concerned that maybe it was really the Ar. But at the same time, we'll be makel like Rav Chisda. If he was chopping Atzomis, that's for sure the more reasonable possibility of what took place over here. Thus, Hilchas HaKavaseh Rav Huna, Kishalei Shiber Ba'etzem, Hilchas HaKavaseh Rav Chisda, Kishalei Shiber Ba'etzem. Zok Tegemar, have a uvda, Vitor Rav Yosef Atleis HaChiyusa, there was a Maisa Shehoya Kachaya, where there was a Shoichet, who shechted 13 animals, and he never inspected the knife in between Shechitos. And then afterwards, he looked, and he realized that the sakin was pogon. And the question was, what are you supposed to do? Rav Yosef said that all 13 were a problem, says the Gemara. Kaman Rav Huna, right? Afilu kamaisa. That's what it sounds like. He said that all 13 were ish, even the first one. What even the first one? Because even the first one, we're concerned that when did the sakin become pogon? When it touched the ar, right before the first shechita. That was Rav Huna's halacha. But the Gemara says, no, it's not muchat, that was the story. Maybe what happened was Rav Chisda lebami kamaisa. Maybe really Rav Yosef other Rav Chisda. And he only said that the latter 12 are the problem, the first one not. Why not the first one? Because you're never concerned that it came from the ar. You're concerned that the first time it made contact with the bone of the neck on its way out, when it completed the shechita of the first animal, that's when it became a problem. Thus, the first one's okay, but it's the next 12 that are going to be a problem. Maybe Rav Yosef meant Rav Huna. Why? Because the Iker Rav Chisda. Because if he meant Rav Chisda, Mechti, Mitla, Tolinan. You see, Rav Chisda holds that you have a right to be Toilo Lekula. Right? Rav Chisda, the whole spirit of Rav Chisda's halacha is that we're going to be mekel over here. It's not so mistaber it happened from the ar. So we're going to be mekel. What's the kula? That it happened from making contact with the neck bones. As the Gemara, if you're going to be toila, a chiddush, mi maide be'etzem de mefarekis de kamaisa ifkim, how do you know that it got nicked up from the first neck bone, meaning from shechting the first animal, dilma be'etzem de mefarekis de basraisa ifkim? So really, if Rav Yosef held like Rav Chisda, the Gemara's arguing in the Iba Yaseima, I don't think any of them should have been a problem. Because Rav Chisda holds you could be toila lekula. You toila lekula, when it's one animal, you assume it came from the neck bone, not from the ar. If it's 13 animals, we could be toila even more lekula and say it came from the 13th animal, so none of them should be a problem. That's clear that Rav Yosef said some were a problem. If Rav Yosef said some were a problem, he must have held that Rav Huna, and if he held that Rav Huna, he must have held that all were a problem. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is there really were three possibilities how Rav Yosef could have paskin the shayla. We're not sure Rav Yosef really said, but there were three possibilities what he could have meant. Either Rav Yosef said that all 13, you know, what happened? There was a shaykhid, he shechted 13 animals, and at the end he realized that the sakin was pogon. And Rav Yosef said, we have problems. Okay, what is that? It could mean one of three things. It could either mean all 13 are a problem, the other Rav Huna, that anytime you shech and you find that the sakin is pogim, you're concerned that it happened before the shechita. So in this case, it happened before the first shechita. All 13 are going to be problems. Or maybe he held like Rav Chisda, that you're not worried that the ar would ever be pogim the sakin, but you're worried that the bone could have been pogim the sakin. Thus, the first time the sakin made contact with a bone that could have been pogim the sakin was at the conclusion of the first shechita. So from that point moving forward, you have to be concerned. The first one's going to be kosher, but the next 12 will be a problem. Or the Gemara suggests even another possibility, and that is, let's work with the spirit of the law as it relates to Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda seems to be toilo the kula. And being that Rav Chisda is being toilo the kula, so maybe, just like you have a right to be toilo that it came from the bone, not from the ar, maybe you have a right to be toilo it came from the bone of the 13th animal. Sounds like a stretch. But from the 13th animal, not from the first one. And as a result, none of them would be a problem at all. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha, Breder Rav, Adar Rav Ashri. Rav Kahana, Matzuch, B'di Busuk, Yonchol, Chada V'chada. Rav Kahana held that a shoychet who's shechting many animals, he has to be boydek, the knife, in between shechita. It says the Gemara, Keman, who does he hold like? Presumably, Rav Huna. He held like Rav Huna, ula mifsal kamaisa. And the reason he held you have to do this is because if you're not going to check and then you're going to find an issue, then all of them are going to be tame, retroactively. So because of Rav Huna's halachi, he held like Rav Huna, that's why Rav Kahana felt that the Shoichet has to be baidek in between. You're doing it for a concern that retroactively you may have an issue. But the Gemara says, well, it's not muchach, that's why Rav Kahana held you have to do it. But rather, maybe it was Rav Chisda, it was Alts Rav Chisda, Ulach Shure Basraisa.
Meaning he didn't say that you have to check in between because we're worried that if you would find a problem, it would mean that the behemoth you just shechted is an issue. He's not worried about the behemoth that you just shechted. It's just that you always have to check a sakin before you do a shechita. So if you're shechting many animals, you have to shecht simply for the next shechita, not for the previous shechita. Forget about the previous shechita. I'm worried more about the next shechita. The Gemara says, "Ihachi tibay nami b'dikas chacham." If he was saying that you need to do a shechita for the next one, then it's not enough to just be b'dik. You should have to do b'dikas chacham. Because that's the halacha. The halacha is that you have to go to a chacham before you shecht, and you have to show the chacham the sakin and make sure it's a good sakin. So if it's more a concern to make sure that nothing developed at the time of the shechita, that's Rav Kahana was addressing. So anybody could do that. But if you're worried, if this is more about the next shechita says a whole Shulchan Aruch you have to conform with. Rav Kahana didn't seem to say that. Rav Kahana was matzrich bedikusa. It doesn't sound like he needed bedikas chacham. So the Gemara says, Eid echa nemen b'yisurim, that the truth is that you never need a chacham to check the sakin. You know why? Because what are we dealing with? Issa v'heter. What's Issa v'heter 101? Very important Rashi here. When did he do two Aiden? Dine nefashes, dine mamanes, davish ba'erva, davadav mimaman. So we're not going to go into this now. But the point is that, being that it's a question of Issa v'heter, when it comes to Issa v'heter, the Gemara says, mikarim nami loy. So I don't understand. So then why do you ever have to show it to a chacham? If there's a concept of Eidechon nami b'yisurin, then why do you ever show it to a chacham? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, you're right, it's good kasha. And you know what the answer is? It's based on something Rabbi Yochanan said. The only reason you ever show it to a chacham is to give cover to the chacham. Really, you shouldn't have to show it to a chacham. The sheikhit should never have to go to a chacham and say, Rabbi, is this okay? Why not? Because Eidechon nami b'yisurin, it's anybody's neman. For Eidechon nami b'yisurin. The reason you have to show it to a chacham is just to give cover to the chacham. So ordinarily, before shechita, so you go, you give cover. But if you're shechting 15 animals, so what, in between each animal to go to give cover to the chacham, that already you don't have to do. So Rav Kahana was matzuch b'dikusa between, not for retroactive. Maybe if he held like Rav Huna, but it's not muchach. Maybe he held like Rav Chizda. I'm not worried about what happened. What happened is water under the bridge. Now the hava, it's more about moving forward. All right, moving forward, then don't you have to go to a chacham? Now, that's it. Before you do your first shechita, to give cover to the chacham. But if you're going to shecht out, you have an assembly line where we're knocking out shechitas, in that case, you don't have to go bein shechita l'shechita and give it to a chacham excel. So before we learn the next Gemara, which is another classic, just a little bit of raid as it relates to the end of yesterday's daf, and the beginning of this morning's daf. So the Gemara mentioned a very important principle. It's a principle that governs many sugyas hashas in many areas in halacha. And that is chamira sakanta me'isura. So we know that anytime there's a sofik isser, something's asr, then it's asr. It's self-explanatory. If it's mutter, it's mutter. Sometimes it's an inyan to be machmer, but mutter, is asr, is asr. What if you have a sofik? I'm not sure, is this asr, is this mutter? So there's a whole Shulchan Aruch, some of the more difficult, complicated, lumdish, super lumdish sugyas and shas address how you deal with a situation when you have a sofik isr. Is it a sofik deiraisa? Then you go l'chumra. The Rambam Shita is sofik deiraisa, l'chumra is only midrabanan. Even sofik deiraisa, the Rambam holds mid deiraisa, you can go lekula. What if it's a sofik drabanan? Sofik drabanan, you can go lekula. Then there's something called a svek sveka. And then you have chazakas. You have different types of chazakas. You have muchzik. You have cheskas mamen. Hamaytzim mechaveray. All of araya. Then you have roiv ruba vechazaka. There's so many sugyas. Nida daf beis pesach pesuach matzasi ksuvas daf tes. Right. Some of the fester sugyas and shas deal with how you address a sofik. So the short answer is, very, very complicated. That's all when you're dealing with something that is merely a question of iser heter. Can I eat it or can I not eat it? However, what emerged from the sugya that we learned is that when the iser at hand also involves an element of sakana, over there it takes on a whole different Shulchan Aruch. And the context in which the Gemara said it is that even though ordinarily, for example, if you had an animal, you did a kasha shechita, and then later it was nailat a suffix, then maybe the animal is a trefa. Why? Because the ze'ev stuck its teeth into the b'nei me'ayim and shema b'mokim nekim nakav. You have a cheskas heter. Rav Huna's halacha, that we would assume that the animal for sure, the meat is kosher. Why? Because being that there was a vade kosher shchita, hemid behem al cheskasa, that it was becheska shchuta, unless you know for sure that there was an issue. That's all true. You can rely on chazaka when you have a suffix, yes, sir. But let's say you have a suffix, whether this drink that's in front of you or this fruit, maybe a shayla pekuach nefesh, maybe if somebody eats this le'aleinu, who knows what could happen to him. So when it's a question of suffix sakana, then you can't rely on chazaka. And we're concerned, like the Gemara said, shema b'makam nekiv nakav. So that proverbial suffix, which seems a little far-fetched, we even have to be worried about. What do you mean? There's a chazaka that there's no megulim, there's no eres, there's no poison, it doesn't matter. You can rely on chazaka when it comes to a shayla of iser, but you cannot rely on chazaka when it comes to a shayla of sakana. Why? Because chamira sakanta me isura. The Darkei Moshe in Yerudea, Siman Kuf Tes Zayin, discusses what happens if you have a question of sakana and the dover shel sakana got mixed up in a taruva. So, for example, if you have a taruva, it's a basu v'chalav. The Torah says it three times. Once to tell me there's an isra bishul, twice to tell me there's an isra achila, and a third time to tell me that it's even asr bahana. What does basa v'chalav mean? If you cook basa v'chalav together, it's a problem. Stating that, if proportionally the ratio between basa to chalav, chalav to basa is such that one is mevatel the other one, so then there's no problem. If you have shishim times basa keneged the chalav, or shishim times chalav keneged the basa, sugis that we're going to learn bezrat Hashem at the end of the mesechta. So there the halachas have nothing to worry about because we say bittel. Berayif, bittel, b'shishim. So if you have taruvas of shishim, you have nothing to worry about. We know that Chazal said you're not supposed to eat fish and meat together. Why not? Not because it's aser, but because of sakana. Chazal believed that there was a sakana of eating fish and meat together. Thus is an issue. What happens if somebody cooks fish together with meat, and he realizes afterwards, and so there's a taruvais. But the shishim of basa keneged the dogim, or the shishim of dogim keneged the basa. Do you say bittul b'shishim? I mean, that's taruvas 101. What about when it comes to this? Says the Ramban, Darkei Moshe, it's a siman kuf tes zayin in hilchas macholi oiv de kechavim, that even though there's something called bittul b'shishim, when it comes to iser, when it comes to a question of sakana, you don't say bittul b'shishim. Why? Because the Gemara says in chulin daf yudam aleph, our sugya, chamira sakanta meisura. So that although it's true, you can go based on a bittul as it relates to a question of Isser, but when it comes to an issue of Sakana, they're not. And the Taz brings the Darkei Moshe, and it brings from the Yamshel Shleim, and not everybody agrees with this Darkei Moshe. But it's the Ramah. So the Ramah's psak was that even though Bittul B'shishim, that's only when it's a question of Isser. But Chamir Sakanta Meisura, thus when it comes to a question of Sakana, you do not say the halacha of Bittul B'shishim. So I want to ask you another Shaila. What about a Sfek Sfeika? What would be the halacha if you have a Sfek Sfeika? Not a Suffolk Sakana, but rather you have a Sfek Sveka of Sakana. What would be the halach over there? The truth is, it's a Mefurish of Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim and the Rechaim Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel from all places, the Prima Gadim discusses it and says the Prima Gadim, I think it's totally in a Lamdish Shaila that in Yeshiva we learned in Ksubas Davbez, where the Gemara discusses how exactly Sfek Sveka works. The Sfek Sveka work more in the realm of it's just a bigger suffix, so to speak, or there's a famous shita in the Paiskin that the way Sfek Sveka works is mitam raiv. Says the Prima God, and without getting too in depth, that it's mevur in the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tes. He quotes our sugya that even though ordinarily when you have a suffix iser, you can rely on chazaka, but when you have a suffix sakana, you can't rely on chazaka. So chazaka can't be machria when there's a suffix sakana. If there's a question, is it kosher or non kosher? Rely on a chazaka. But if there's a question that this may harm you, there's a shayla of sakana, over there you're not allowed to rely on chazaka. Shaylos, what about a Sfek Sveka? So it says the Prima Gadim, if Sfek Sveka works mitam roiv, then maybe I could hear it sad to be meiko. Why? Because we know the Gemara says ruba v'chazaka ruba adam. So although you see in Chulin Daf Tes that chazaka can't be machria, a suffix sakana, it doesn't mean that roiv can't be machria suffix sakana. Because ruba v'chazaka, ruba adav. So zok the Prima Gadim, is Sfek Sveka is mitam roiv, and he quotes the Pnei Yeshua and Ksubas Daf Beis, then maybe I can hear it. If Sfek Sveka is not mitam roiv, then he doesn't want to hear it so much. But the bottom line is that the Achrevim discuss different applications of how you treat a suffix sakana. What was mavur in our Gemara is that if you have a suffix sakana, you can use a chazaka to go be machria l'kula. What about bittul b'shishim? So that's the Darkei Moshe in Ramon, Yerudea, Siman Kuf Tes Zayin. What about a Sfek Sveka? That's something that the Prima Gadim discusses in Erechayim, Siman Kuf Ayin Gimel. It's a Mishpit Soizov, not an H. Lavram. It's a Mishpit Soizov, Ayin Sham. Either way, there's a lot of different directions we can go with this, but I thought it's Kedai to speak out a fascinating tshuva
as it relates to Chamira Sakanta Mesu. There were many tshuvas that were written by Gedolei Yisrael, by the Gresa Poiskin, as it relates to this, just to see how they apply the principle of Chamira Sakanta Mesu and how they treated it differently than you would treat a regular question of Safik Issa V'Heter. And that is a tshuva from the Munkach Rebbe, the Heilige Mincha Salusa. The tshuva is in Chelek Beis. It's in Simen Ayinvav. And the question that was presented to the Mincha Salusa was as follows. There was a woman who had gotten married three times, and all three of her marriages ended unsuccessfully. She was a young woman. And the Shaila that's presented here in the tshuva is as follows. She gets married, this woman does, she had children, Umeis and Nebuch, her husband died while he was a young man. So she got married a second time. The second husband turned out to be a bad guy, Ubarach la America, Ubekoishi Acheneskasha Mimenu. Finally, he left her in Aguna for a short period of time, and eventually he was willing to give her again. Then she got married a third time, and this third person that she got married, she had children with again, and Nebuch, this person again was Niftalei Lamai. Today she's a young woman. The Micha Saluza says she's not even 50 years old. She's an Eshes Chayil, Chashuva, Tznua, Ubas Bemar Nafsha. And she came to me, Nebuch, so sad. And she wants to get married. And she knows she's technically a Katlanis because she buried two husbands. And being that two of her husbands died, Machloikis Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, whether a Katlanis is established by a woman burying two husbands or three husbands, we go to Chumrah, of course, like Rebbe, and as a result, she knows she's a Katlan. So she came to the Heilige Mincha Saluza, and she wanted to know, is there anything you can do for me? Is there any way you can find me a heter? I'm a young woman, I want to get married. And the Mincha Saluza wrote a beautiful tshuva, it's a very long tshuva, it's 10 pages long. And there's a tremendous amount of brilliance and lumdus specifically as it relates to what we're talking about right now. Now, just from going through the tshuva, you see a few things. There were some mitigating factors, but nothing that made the Mincha Saluza comfortable to go and emphatically issue a heter. Number one of the husbands had died during an outbreak of typhus. The Ramah says in Hilchas Ishus, Eben Ezra Simen Tes, that if a man dies machmas dever, or makas medina, where there's some sort of outbreak where the whole city died, so but it doesn't fall into the realm of Katlanas. Katlanas would mean that this woman, there's something about her that's causing her husbands to die. But if the whole shtot died, then obviously it has nothing to do with her, right? If a woman lost a husband by the Holocaust, I mean, that would make her a Katlanas. Of course not. It wasn't her mazel. It was the situation. And it's in the first Ramah. The Ramah brings it in Hilchas Ishus when he discusses the laws of Katlanas. So the Chasaluza said that, you know, certainly a mitigating factor, the fact that this man died during this typhus outbreak. But he said that, really, if you go through the Ramah and the Paiskim, there's very technical criteria that you have to meet in order for it to be considered a Devar, a Magefa, and he didn't believe that it met those technical criteria. Another mitigating factor that the Micha Saluza threw out there, but at the end of the day he wasn't comfortable with, and that is the Rush. If you do it, the Rush says that the Halach of Katlanos only applies if a woman loses two husbands. What if a man loses two wives? So then you don't say the Halach of Katlanos. Why not? Because the Gemara says that why is it that a Katlanos is not allowed to get married? The Gemara gives two reasons, but the reason that stands La halacha is mazlo garam. We're concerned that maybe there's something about her mazel. Says there always mean her mazel. What part of her mazel are we worried about is dictating that somehow causing her husbands to die? Says the Rosh, it's the mazel chazal say bonei chayi u'mezoini. It's the mezoini mazel. It's the fact that women usually rely on their husbands to support them, and her mazel is not to have mezoinos. Problem, she has a husband who's a successful guy. So what's happened? He has to die. That's the only way for her mazel of mezoine to play itself out, because it's not bashert for her to be a balas mezoine. So says the Rosh, unbelievable chiddush. He wrote this in the tshuva. The Ramah brings us lahalacha. And that is that a woman who relies on her husband for parnasa, so then there's halacha of katlanas. But a man who doesn't rely on his wife for parnasa, usually, so then you're not going to have the halacha of katlanas. So said the Mincha Saluza that this woman was an eshes chayil in the sense that she was a balas parnasa. So really, there would be a mitigating factor where maybe you can argue and you could say that being that she has parnasa, so just like the Rosh said, there's no katlanas from a man when he loses his wives, so maybe this woman who lost her husband shouldn't have the halacha of katlanas either, but the Mincha Saluza said he wasn't comfortable. So there were two mitigating factors that at the end of the tshuva, not to give it away, he'll be mitstaref, but he definitely wasn't comfortable with that. That wasn't enough for him to issue a kula. So what do we do with this woman? We want to help her out. Said the Mincha Saluza, at the end of the day, he found two svaras, two kulois lemaisa, not mitigating factors, where he was a little bit more comfortable. And that the first one is the Be'er Hetev. The Be'er Hetev is also here in Simen Tes in Ebenezer, where the Be'er Hetev says, Yesh lehistapik. This halach of Katlanas, idavka bezeh achar zeh komar, o yafilu beseirugin. One line. Says the Be'er Hetev, what would be if a woman got married, lost a husband, then got married, and everything was fine. Maybe there was a get or something else happened. And then got married, and again the husband died. Would she be a katlanos? Or maybe being that there was a relatively successful marriage in between the two katlanoses, so maybe that would be enough to knock out the chazaka, and maybe over there you wouldn't have this halacha. He's not sure. Says the Minchas, this is exactly what happened over here. So you're looking for a svara to be made. I found a svara. I found a mefurish of Be'er Hetev, and l'chura, at first glance, this Be'er Hetev would definitely seem like something you could learn. Now, the truth is that there is a shitas Rashi. Rashi's in the end of the first paragraph of Masachtas Yuvamas, for those who don't know this Rashi. We spoke this out many times when we learned Yuvamas. Where Rashi says an unbelievable chiddush, that just like there's a halacha of katlanis with a woman that loses her husband, there's also a halacha of katlanis for a woman that gets divorced. A woman that gets divorced twice, Rashi's shita is not supposed to get married a third time, because there's a halacha of katlanis. Now, we don't paskin that way. It's brought down in halacha as a yeshayimrim. Now, according to that shita, there was no serugan over here. Then to the contrary, not only is it not the serugan, she's a katlanis according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because one husband died, the other husband got divorced, and then the third one died again. So certainly, without a question, that wouldn't be a svar to be. But again, it's all based on the fact that we don't paskin like Rashi, and it's not something that we work with halacha. And being that we don't work the halacha with this Rashi, so it's based on that, it's pashit, said the Michas Aluzer, what you're left with then is a seirugin, and being that seirugin, maybe you can rely on this Be'er Hetev. The second thing he said was a sefer chassidim. And the sefer chassidim is in Tof Ein Ches, if you want to look it up. And he's just talking masiach. It's a fascinating discussion. Unfortunately, we're not learning the series of Katlanis now. We're learning Hakol Shoichin, right? But the point is, he mentions Derech Agav, the Sefer Chassidim, says something about Katlanis, but says the Minchas Aluzer, let's be medayik l'shoinei azov shal Sefer Chassidim, the way he presented the law of Katlanis. He says as follows, Isha, a woman, l'shlishi oy l'revi'i l'itinase. Meaning, if two of her husbands, or three of her husbands died, Markedisle, Rebbe, and Reb Shuvah ben Gamliel should not get married again. Imesu baleha ze achar ze. If the husbands died one after the other, laachar shebo aleh umesu b'loy ban. That's the punchline. And they die without children. Says the Michas Aluzer, I see a gevaldige chiddush. I see that to say the chassidim held that the only time there's a problem with a katlanis is if the man died without children. But if the man died and left over children, so then there's no halacha of katlanis. He says a very big chiddush. I didn't see anybody say it, but I also never found anyone that should say to the contrary. So if Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, one of the Rishonim, said it, and nobody said to the contrary, I don't know, to me that means this is real. So says the Minchas Aluzer, I have two real svaris to be matter this woman to get married. Number one, I have the Be'er Hetev, where the Be'er Hetev said, Yesh lehistapek, if it was b'seirugin, maybe you don't have the halach of katlanas. Be'er Hetev himself wasn't sure. And then I have a Sefer Chassidim, who seemed pretty sure, and I don't even know anyone that argues with the Sefer Chassidim. So he says, this is more than just a suffix, this is like a real tzad, because nobody argues with it. So l'chayri, you have two tzadim to allow this woman to get married. So based on that, this is the first two, three columns of Shuvah Minchas Aluzer, where he feels that maybe we can figure something out to help this woman who came b'mar nefesh and she wants to get married so badly. I think this may be an etza. She's a katlanis without a question. But at the same time, there are two svaris in Gedolei HaPoskim maybe to allow it to creep out. But here's the question. Says the Michas Aluzer, could you rely on two svekos to allow this woman to get married? What we're going to call a svek sveka in din, right? It's not a svek sveka in Metzias, but it's a svek svek in din. Maybe the Be'er Hetev is right in one of his studim, that if it's b'seirugim, that she's not a katlanis. Maybe the Sefer Chassidim is right, that if the man dies with children, so you don't have the halach of katlanis. So essentially what you have is two svekas, right? Two studim to be mekel. It's, I guess, a svek sveka. Svek svek in din. Could you rely on a svek sveka? Zok to Michas Aluzer, it's a prima godim. And prima godim wasn't sure. Prima godim said, I'm not sure. What do you mean? I thought you always rely on svek sveka. I mean, svek sveka, this is Hilchas Sveikas 101. Yeah, that's when it's a question of his vehet. But over here we're dealing with sakana. And the Gemara says, Chulin daf yod chamira sakanta meisura. I mean, the chamira sakanta meisura, maybe over here it's going to be different. Maybe over here you will not be able to rely on it. That was the Minchas Aluzer Shaila. Says the Minchas Aluzer that the truth is, I don't even understand the prima godim. I think we have to be machmer. So at this point, it's not looking good for this woman. I think we have to be machmer. And he's mamish matmi. He says he doesn't understand Pashtun Shah in the Prima Garden. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Everybody knows the Mishnah. It's in the end of Masechtas Yuma. What happens if a wall falls down on Shabbos? And we're not sure. We think there may be somebody underneath that wall. So the halach is that even though removing the bricks and doing what we need to do to possibly save this person would involve Chil Shabbos, Deiraisa, the halach is Mefakch and all of us. Agal, if a Tzolah member gets a Tzolah call on Shabbos, he doesn't ask questions. He goes on the call. Why? Because that's the halacha. Sofek Pekuach Nefesh is Deich everything. There's nothing to talk about. And the Mishnah, when it speaks out what may or may not be underneath the wall, the Mishnah says, yeah, there's many possibilities. There may be nobody there. Even if there's somebody there, maybe be dead. And even if the person's alive, maybe he's not a Jew. So maybe he's not even someone for whom the halacha is mefakch and all of us agal. It doesn't matter. Because being that we're discussing pekuach nefesh, you can bring kol sveikei sheba oilam. The halacha is if there's a small tzad pekuach nefesh, we're going to be doicha Shabbos. So freik temin chasalot, what was the prima gadim shayla? What was the shayla? You have a question over here. Should I drink this glass of water or not? There may be a sakana. And maybe you question a pekuach nefesh. So you'll tell me, okay, but it's a sfek sfeika. Yeah, maybe not. I have another smarter. Your thumbs are flying all over the place. You're coming up with 100 different reasons. At the end of the day, it's a shayla pekuach nefesh. If you could be mechal Shabbos because maybe pekuach nefesh, then it's posh. You have to be machmer when it's maybe pekuach nefesh. You see from the Mishnah of mefakchin olav es hagal, clearly, that if there's any tzad pekuach nefesh in the world, the halacha is that pekuach nefesh is going to, it's going to trump. That's what's going to take precedence. So Freitim and Chesla, I don't understand Pashem Shah and the Prima Gadim, and he comes out now like the Prima Gadim. He says, it's not a question that you can't rely on a Svek Sveka when it comes to a question of Sakana. So if that's the case, said the Chesla, even though I came up with mitigating factors, and I came up with two real svaras, the Ber Heitev that was B'Sei Rugen and the Sefer Chassidim Tov Ein Ches, who says that there were children as a result of no halacha of katlonas. It's very nice to have a svek sveka, but svek sveka b'makom katlonas. It's a shayla pekuach nefesh. So if it's a svek sveka b'makom katlonas, how are we going to creep out of this? And then the Minchas Elazar says a davar nifla. He says, you know what the Teretz is? The Rambam. Which Rambam? The Rambam has a very mechudish de geshita when it comes to katlonas. We know that halacha is a woman that's married twice. Two husbands died, according to Rebbe, three times according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, she's not allowed to get married. It's halacha, lo yisa. What happens if she got married? Let's say this woman got married. Chuppah, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. They got married. And then they find out afterwards, there's something called katlanas. She didn't know. They weren't aware of this. They had no idea there's something called the katlanas. Or they knew and whatever. They got married. So the question is, do we force them to get divorced now? Or do we not? Now, if somebody marries a chayde lavin, a mamzer or something, of course, you'd have to get married. Koifen, it's not even a question. They're not allowed to stay married. We're going to force them to get divorced. But this is not a question of Isser. So the question is, koifen or ain't koifen? It says the Rosh, that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that Avad of Allah is koifen. Why? Because the Gemara says, Chulun daf yura merahalif, chamira sakanta meisura. So madach, if it was a question of Isser, the head of Allah would be koifen, force the man to give a get. So certainly, if it's a shayla of sakana, when it comes to katlanis, you don't rely on chazaka when it comes to sakana. Right? Sakana is so much more chamer that Gemara says you don't say bitl b'shisha when it comes to sakana. So certainly, sakana is more chamer. Chamira sakanta meisura. Therefore, the Allah is going to be, you're going to force them. Stating that, the Rambam said not. The Rambam says the halach of katlonis is on the katchila level. The katchila person is not supposed to marry a katlonis. But b'di'evit, let's say a person married a katlonis, the halach is they could stay married. And the question is why? What happened to chamira sakanta meisura? So believe it or not, this question was asked to the Rambam himself. And the Rambam wrote a tshuva. The Rambam wrote a tshuva. He responded to the people that were questioning his certainly very novel psak, that katlonis is only under the katchila level, but the other they're allowed to stay married. The tshuva is printed. It's printed in the Kesef Mishnah in the end of Hilchas Yisurevia. The problem is a little sussum. It's a little bit unclear what exactly the Rambam meant. But we have a tshuva's Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer and the tshuva, Eben Ezra, Simen Chaf Gimel. Did we speak out of Chassam Sofer yet this week? The Chassam Sofer and the tshuva, Eben Ezra, Simen Chaf Gimel, Chelek Aleph. So he brings this Rambam. And he says, I'm going to tell you what the Rambam meant. Ubetshuva bir haRambam. Listen to this. This halacha that a katlonis is not supposed to get married is enoi ella leman dekapid. Someone that's a kapid. Someone that's worried. Somebody that worries a lot. A person like that, kapdinon bahadeh. He needs to be worried. And as a result, he's not supposed to get married. Listen to this. The Rambam held, if somebody goes to a Rav and he asks a shayla, Rabbi, I was ready to shidduch, right? She wants to know, could she get married? And he wants to know, can he get married? So obviously he's a little bit concerned, because otherwise he wouldn't be asking the Shaila. So we tell him, don't get married. You know why? Because if you're a kapid, man de kapid kapdinam bahadeh, and therefore you need to be worried. So we tell you, stay away from it. But what happens, says the Chassam Sofer, this is the way he explains the Rambam. If this person got married, I'm no katlan is mazlagaram. It doesn't resonate by them. They felt, no, I'm no problems. I have no problem getting married. And there, so what? You see, they don't care. That means they're a light kapid. Oh, you're a light kapid. Light kapdina bahadeh. You have nothing to worry about. You could stay married. Notice the Rambam held that the yisoid of katlan is when the Gemara says mazlagaram. It's not a real thing. It's not a real, I ain't shama milchus alazar and shayl shuvas sam soifer. It's, you have to see it to believe it. It's dvarim naflam. It's not real. And even though the Gemara says mazlagaram, it means because people very often get anxious. They get worried when it comes to these types of situations. So if someone that's a kapit, kapdina bahadeh. But someone that's a like kapdina bahadeh. Now this term, man de kapit, kapdina bahadeh, man de like kapdeh, it's a borrowed term. It comes from a Gemara Masechtes Pesachim Daf Kuf Tes. And the Gemara over there is talking about zugois, right? Once upon a time, you weren't supposed to do things in pairs. You're not supposed to drink 2 cups of wine, right? That's why we drink dalut kaisos. Right, I mean, we drink dalat kaisis, can I get the dalat l'shainas of gula? But we drink, that's what comes in Arvei Pesachim. We drink dalat kaisis that to show that it's lal shimurim and amazikim. We don't have to be worried about zugais, about dvarim atikim. But the point is that once upon a time there was something called zugais. If you had 2 glasses of wine, 2 shots of right, shlomo. So if you had, come on, I was waiting to go a week for the shout out. So they make sure you have a third. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the Gemara tells a story. Right? There was a person who was sitting in a kreichman somewhere, and he had a few shots. His head started spinning. They just give him one more shot, and then his head stopped spinning. Yeah. Hashtag Kiddush Club. But hey, it was spinning counterclockwise after the next shot. Yeah, but anyways, but the point is, right? There's something called Zugais. So the Gemara says, you have to be worried about Zugais? Gemara says, very simple. If you're worried about Zugais, you have to be worried about Zugais. Man de kapit, kapdina bahadeh. Man de like kapit, the Vel says it about Ayin Har, about other things. But really, Chazal said it about Zugais. That's what Chazal said it. The Chassam Sofer is borrowing that terminology. Ubetshuva bir, Rambam didn't say this. Ubetshuva bir harambam. At least the Kasmish doesn't quote it that way. Ubetshuva bir harambam she'enoi ela leman de kapit, kapdina bahadeh. Borrowing that term. So someone that's worried about Katlanis, the Mazlagarm, has to be worried about the Mazlagarm. Someone that's not worried about the Mazlagarm need not worried about the that's what the Rambam said. Look, Katkili ask a Shaila. Yeah, and of course, it's something you have to worry about. If someone's asking a Shaila, clearly the person's concerned. But if the person's not asking the Shaila, then this person does not have to be concerned. Says the Minchas Aluzer. Says the Minchas Aluzer. If that's the case, it comes out that there's really no problem with a katlanos getting married, unless the person is worried. So he says, I'm comfortable issuing the psak. And here's the psak. The chassaluzer went over to the woman and said, listen, really, there's something called katlanos. But at the same time, in the halachic world, this would not be an issue. It'd be a moot point. Because it's a svek sveka. I have 2 real stadim to be mekel. And svek sveka permeates halach. It's always something you can be mekel. It's not a svek sveka mitzios. It's a svek sveka indin. What are the 2 dinim that establish the svek sveka? Maybe the halach is like the one side of the bar hetev, that if it's, let's say, rugen, it's not an issue. Maybe the halach is like the sefer chsidin. And being that you have children from both of your husbands, so this is not a problem. Narvas chamira sakante meisura, but it's only chamira sakante meisura if she's going to be worried. Said the Michas Aluza, once I tell her that it's a svek sveka, I don't think she's going to be worried anymore. This is not a classic case. What's a classic case of kaplanas? Where a woman knows that there's something called kaplanas, she can't get married. But if the rabbi tells her it's fine, it's okay, I don't think you have to be worried anymore. I don't have to be worried anymore, then there's nothing to worry about. Like the Rambam Shita said, Kedaya Rambam, Lusmai Chalav, and that was the psak that he said. He brings a tshuva from his Zayda, the Hailagi de Rechayim, the Tzan Zeruv, that the Tzan Zeruv, this is an Eben Ezer, Chelik. Beis Simon Chavav, who brings a similar shiloh, where there was a question of a katlanis, and he said that his grandfather, Rabbi Naftali Rafshitzer, the Zayda of the Milchas Aluzah and the Zayda of the Divrei Chaim, that the Naftali Rafshitzer said that if the Rav of the city is going to paskin, that it's okay for her to get married, she can get married, she doesn't have to worry about katlanis. Said the Milchas Aluzah, what's the pshat? He says, you know what the pshat is? It's this Rambam. Because if she hears from the rabbi that it's okay to get married, she won't be worried. She's not worried. You have nothing to worry about. The whole issue of katlanis, the mazlagaram, is all to the extent that this person is a kapid. So it's man de kapid, kapdina bahadeh, but man de loy kapid, loy kapdina bahadeh. We ran out of time. We'll have to stop here.